Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Been an interesting subject today, I think. What does salvation look like? Interesting concept, isn't it? Well, before we start trying to figure out what it looks like, what is salvation? It's one of those things, it's like justification, salvation. We use those words all the time. But what does it mean? Well, forgiveness. Is it more than forgiveness? Let me share something with you. This is a quote by a man by the name of Anselm Kyung-suk Min, Korean. He teaches at the State University of New York. Now, here we are, and it's interesting that this is coming from a secular school. And I know we have a lot of you who are from New York who probably went through the SUNY system. Let me share this with you. At the heart of the Christian faith is the reality and hope of salvation in Jesus Christ. Christian faith is faith in the God of salvation revealed in Jesus of Nazareth. The Christian tradition has always equated this salvation with the transcendent eschatological, say that three times fast, that means end times, fulfillment of human existence in a life freed from sin, finitude, and morality, or mortality, and united with the triune God. This is perhaps the non-negotiable item of Christian faith. What has been a matter of debate is the relation between salvation and our activities in the world. It's a powerful statement, especially coming out of the secular school. We're going to look at some differing views of salvation. One's going to be moral transformation, another one's going to be Christus Victor, a ransom from Satan, satisfaction, and then finally the one that we really believe in, which is, I've got to turn the page, penal substitution and faith. All right, so there's five of them there, and these five all started in the Christian church and still exist today in various churches. All right, first one, moral transformation. It really began with the first of the third centuries of Christianity. All right, so what is it? Well, first of all, the Eastern Orthodox Church believes this today. All right, so when you start taking a look that it's believed by 250 million Christians, all right, you listen to it. So you're not saved by the cross in moral transformation. You're saved by Jesus' life and his teachings. Okay? The cross is a martyrdom. Doesn't have anything to do with salvation. Now, to me, that's a little hard to understand and to grasp. But then again, too, I grew up on a Lutheran understanding. So, salvation is undeserved since it comes from God. And we can expect a positive final judgment. All right, now here, this I agree with. Mistakes are forgiven after repentance. Okay? That's pretty close to what we believe there. But to base salvation on Jesus' life and his teachings, we downplay the cross. And I have trouble agreeing with that. Now, this next one is Christus Victor, Christ the Victor, okay? But this is still the belief of the Coptic and Nestorian churches in the Middle East. Coptic is Egypt, okay? We've been hearing a lot of that in the news lately. All right. In this view, people needed salvation from the powers of evil. And so Jesus achieved this salvation by defeating the powers of evil, and particularly Satan. This is one of the biggest ideas, thoughts of the Christian church up until the 4th century. We're talking the first 300 years of Christianity. All right, so we looked at that first one. We're looking at this one being different. And we have this great spiritual battle between Jesus and Satan. Jesus wins. That one's a little hard for me, too. Why do these funny ones really come up? Well, When was the Bible put into its final form? Still talks about that, aren't there? But around 300 AD, okay? Eusebius, Eusebius, if you want to say it that way, went together and put together the 66 books of the canon that we see today. And so it wasn't until 300 AD that we even had a Bible. It wasn't until after Constantine decided the empire was going to be Christian that the Bible was written out and every church had one. So how'd you learn about Christ and Christianity? It's not like you went in and somebody read you out of the Bible, is it? Whatever that person believed. And so what happens is, instead of being mainline Christianity, sort of gets skewed. Okay? Well, I believe this. Well, we're back in having people, remember the arrows I've talked about so many times in here, the arrows are coming from the person to God rather than from God to the person. And so we get these funny things going on, but they still exist today. All right, this next one, we're starting to get a little bit closer. We're in the 11th century now, so that's 1000 AD. And this one's called Satisfaction, and it began in England. Anselm of Canterbury. All right, the ransom from Satan, and this is the one that's really crazy, is everybody belonged to Satan. And when Christ died, he rescued the people. He made a deal with Satan that he would exchange himself for all the people that Satan had. But since God took mercy on him because he was divine, he raised Jesus from the dead. And so he took all the people with him, so Satan's left alone. See how we're actually getting further and further away from what the teachings are in the Bible.
Satan takes the devil's note from the Middle Ages. Yeah.
Play that note. No, it's the augmented, yeah.
Because it sounds like
Satan. You got it. We'll have a, I know I'm joking there, but I can't share the church. Oh, Sharon. It's a diminished fifth. And so when you play that, you got to diminish a fifth. Anyway. That was bad. All right. You know, we start looking at these in 1000 AD. Somebody says, well, this idea of a deal, you know, isn't, you know, we can't have that. And so by doing that, you take away honor from God. Well, I agree with that. But then you take away the need for punishment. And so there has to be punishment. And so what happens with satisfaction, it's salvation through the law rather than through the gospel. You know, you start looking at these, and again, there's still groups that believe that. I mean, especially when you look at the idea of salvation in Mennonites, Amish, and things like that, it's a law-based religion, not a gospel-based religion. You know, and so you start wondering about this. You know, I can't buy that. Well, here's the one that, as we get closer to us, this one was a result of that about 1200 AD. Protestants apply the idea of legality with a true system of satisfaction. So, offenses, they require punishment. But we can't overcome these ourselves. Now we're starting to get to what we believe, okay? But this isn't the Lutheran view. This is the mainline Christianity. So, Christ takes our penalty onto himself to save us from God's wrath. All right, the fancy word for this is vicarious atonement. Anybody heard that in here before? Raise your hands if you have. All right, when I was doing my practice pastor, I was called a vicar. And vicar, vicarious, means it's someone who stands in the place of. Okay? It's just like, I wear this because today I'm standing in the place of Jesus in our midst. No, I'm not Jesus, I'm not anywhere close. But I represent him and it's my voice that's explaining what Jesus believes. Atonement, okay? That's a legal term. You have to atone for what you've done wrong. But I cannot by my own reason or faith, right? and say, you can't do it. And so we have to have somebody that stands in and takes the punishment. That's our whipping boy. Remember from the Middle Ages, Prince and the Pauper? Okay, you couldn't spank the prince, so you had to have a whipping boy to spank, even though the prince was the one that did something. I don't know about that, but that seems awfully convoluted. Well, now we get to Lutheranism. And this is based on the five solas. And since I did a huge sermon series on that, I'm not going to go into all of them again. But God has justified all sinners. And there's that big word, justification. Okay? And what does justification mean? Let's not all speak at once. Forgiveness of sins. Okay? And it's one of those things, it's one of Paul's favorite words. But all it means is our sins are forgiven. We believe that even though we fell into sin by one man, in Romans it's the result of one trespass was the condemnation for all men. That's in Romans 5. But we're also saved by the one man. Romans 5 again, the result of one act of righteousness was justification. That brings life for all men. You know, we teach that this gift of forgiveness is free. And that's sola fide. You know, it's one of those things, you don't have to do anything for forgiveness, do you? It's there. But what do you have to do? You have to ask for it. Lord, I did something wrong. Can I be forgiven? Atonement. And it's unconditional. Okay? But you got to really want to. And here's the thing we run into. But do you really, really want to? You know, is that law or is it gospel? Law. You know, so all you got to do is ask for forgiveness and it's freely given. You know, that's many times we get accused of cheap grace because we just ask for it and it's there. But isn't that the blessing? What we're given? I think so too. Well, I think we've got an understanding what salvation is. Now, what does it look like? Well, it's not something in itself. It's the result of what we've received. Make sense? All right, I used to have a friend by the name of Viola Detloff. I grew up next door to her. Okay? Vi was a real good friend. I saw her one time. She was 84 years old, and she's walking down the bus stop in my old neighborhood. I said, Vi, where are you going? She says, I'm going down to the old folks' home to take care of the old people. 84 years old. That's what salvation looks like. All right? Cincinnati had a member that was 85 years old. He drove, taking care of the old folks. He took Meals on Wheels around and gave them. There's salvation. That's what it looks like. You know, we've prayed for my custodian at my church in Texas, who was 93 years old and works full-time doing it. That's what salvation looks like. Because you've received something and you want to give back. Do you agree? Make sense? Now, is it just old people? No, there's a thing that's been on the news lately about this 19-year-old who's spending all the time he had going around and visiting with World War II vets and recording their life story. So it's not lost. That's what salvation looks like. And the last one I'm going to talk about is the child who fundraised thousands of dollars. Thousands of dollars for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. You know, salvation comes through us. Remember, I've talked about that so many times here. Is what we get from God has got the flow through us. All right, since salvation comes to us and flows out, if we don't share that, are we really saved? And that's not me that's saying that. That's Luther wrote that. It's one of those things, if we don't share it, do we get it? And that's one of those things that's hard to understand sometimes, I think. If we stop it, if we don't share salvation, it's scary, isn't it? Okay, we let it flow. All right, now, is just going to church on Sunday what salvation looks like? I don't think so either. Part of it. But what did old Isaiah say about this in today's readings? Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in the oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and ready to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. And its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found from which to take fire from the hearth, or to dip up water of a cistern. There's sin. That's how bad sin is. But thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. Is that gospel? Yes. Is it in the Old Testament? Yes. In our psalm. He has shown his people the power of his words in giving them the inheritance of the nations. Who do you get an inheritance from? Family, okay? We get our inheritance from who? God. Are we children of God? Yes. Bible tells us that. Now, it didn't say if the inheritance is going to God's people. You know, it's one of those, God thinks we're smart enough to figure that out on our own. With me? So, if we're saved, have we received our inheritance? Yes. So, the work of his hands are just our example. Are our hands too? I mean, he shared with us. Okay. Now, do we gladly use our hands in his service? Well, let's look at our church here. The ladies who put together lunches for the Jesus Loves Me ministry. Isn't that exactly showing salvation and sharing it with people? And the reason I'm doing that is because we have to do it again in February and we need more sandwiches this next time. That's a good lead up. But you see what I mean? We do stuff like this. All right. There's many of us that attend the LJB meals, and how many people are on the LJB board? I know Bev is. Okay, Bev and Jeff. Okay, so we are giving back to our community, aren't we? All right, one of the things I'm doing is, this is networking. Whenever you get out among the public and represent the church, it's networking. Okay, it's a business concept too. I went to the barber shoppers in Punta Gordo 2 weeks ago, and there's 50 guys sitting there. And I used to direct a men's barbershop course in Arizona, so I went in and I got a pretty decent voice, as many of you heard. And as I was saying, the guy said, you've got some experience. I said, yeah, I used to direct a chorus. He said, do you want to direct this one tonight? I said, it's been quite a few years. He said, that's all right. So the last number of the night is Keep the Whole World Singing. So I got up there and I had all 50 guys singing, and we had some fun with it. And the director came up to me and he said, have you thinking about joining us? And I said, well, yeah, I'd like to see you again. He said, you mind if I put you to work? No. Okay, but you see, that's the thing. Do we get back? My talent's in music. Okay, so do I get back to the community? Yeah. Okay, is it fun?
Yeah.
Yes. Something else came out. Ron gave me the name of a guy who's got a big band in Port Charlotte. And we got to talk and I found out we do a lot of the same guys. So on Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 4, I'm playing with Port Charlotte.
They might know Fred Cavatelli. Doesn't
he groove
big band? Fred
Cavatelli. Hey, groove big band?
Yes.
Anyway, I'm playing lead alto with him on Wednesday from 2 to 4. Okay, folks, it's not hard. But the thing is, you got to be willing to give. Because when you're willing to give, isn't that what's happening? Isn't that flowing through us? Yes, you know, and you can have fun with it. You know, one of the things I keep on talking about all the time is having fun with what we do. You know, I am not. We're in church. We have to be serious. Okay, are you having fun? Yes, this is fun. go to a Danish Lutheran church sometimes. They have what they call the happy days and the sad days. Those are the sad days. But you see what I'm getting at? Okay, and if you're Danish in here, it's not meant to be, you know, something against you. But remember, Jesus told us to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, it's one of the basic tenets. Get out there and love your neighbor. Do something. You know, didn't we just do the parade? Wasn't it fun?
Yeah.
Was it a lot of work?
Yeah.
Yeah. But to see the people come through, it was fun. Okay? Yeah, it was a good fun. We're in a new year. Are we getting ready to practice what we believe? God so loved the world that he gave. Do you love the world too that you can give? Of course, I know I'm talking long because I'm talking about what we're doing. But remember, we're not saved by our works, but we're so excited by the gospel of salvation. We want to share our works with people. Right? Yeah, I know. Oh, geez, I got to work today. I'm putting 50 hours this week. Well, yeah, you can't do as much. But one of the things about religion, it's not only tithes, but it's time and talent. What's your talent you can share? Okay. Jeff shares music. I had a friend one time who was a great wood carver, and his ministry was that. Okay. Wood carver is for Jesus. He made a group together, and they get together, carve wood together, and talk scripture. Isn't that fun? Okay. We're starting a Bible study here next Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock. Another one will segue into that. And we're going to look at the book of James, which goes from works righteousness to saved by grace through faith from one of the apostles, the brother of Jesus. And so if you want to join us, come. We're going to enjoy ourselves doing that. Serve yourself by serving your neighbor. And let the salvation of Jesus Christ flow through you and be a blessing to others. Let us pray. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. And for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Lord, we bless your holy name, and we ask for the blessing of your favor in our service to you. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.